Good morning.
Good morning.
Every time I finally get comfortable preaching, the Lord makes me share a new level of vulnerability, and this one might be pretty rough for me, so I'm going to try and keep my thoughts, but I'm not comfortable today. I'm just not. So before I start, I'm going to pray for myself. Lord, I just ask that you would calm my spirit, that you would help me just to speak from my heart what you have done, because that is all that I'm here to do, is to give testimony to you and your greatness and what you've said to me and what you will have for the body. So may you calm me and may your spirit do its work. Amen. So, my gosh. Yeah, I'm sorry, you're just going to have to deal with me. About 3 weeks ago, I was having lunch with Douglas at work, and I was not doing well. I was very upset. It's been a very long several months. Just a lot of conflict in my life, a lot of personal problems with friends and people I'm close to, and I just kind of felt like these people I were discipling, like I'd give them good and sound and godly advice, and they'd say yes, yes, and then they wouldn't do it, and then the bad thing would happen, and it's just like I kept watching it, and it was, I didn't know what to do anymore. And as I'm telling Douglas, I say to him, I just wanted more for them. Like, I don't want them to make the same mistakes I made, and I just love them so much. And I started thinking of them and of the body, and I kind of started getting like teary-eyed, and I thought to myself, my gosh, who am I? I feel like a father. Like, you know, I wanted more for them. I don't want them to make my same, like, I sounded like a father, and that I would get emotional about it. That's not who I am. Well, I should say, that's not who I think that I am, but it's who the Lord is making me to be. And that's what today is about, is I'm going to talk to you about how the Lord has brought me from this person who was isolated and cold emotionally, and, I've only cried one time in my adult life, and it was because of the end of a very long depression, and then my cat almost died, and I was suicidal. Like, it was just overwhelming crying. It wasn't like anything. You know, I didn't cry when I had nearly brought my life to destruction with drugs and alcohol several times. I didn't cry when I had to break up with my fiance because she couldn't stay faithful. You know, I'm not an emotional person, and I kind of like to keep my distance. And here I am now finding myself. I just love you all so much, and I don't know how to contain it, and I just want so much more for you, and I get teary-eyed thinking about how much I love you. So I'm just going to talk about how I came to be that person, and just kind of involved, you know, like Christ living in me and me expressing that, how I found my place in the body, and why any of this matters. So we're going to start in Colossians 3. About 5 years ago, I was hurt pretty badly by the church I was at, and I withdrew from everyone and everything for a couple of years. And so then about 3 years ago, after Wellspring had started, we were still meeting in the bar area. I was kind of starting to come out of that isolation and that like I'm done with everything. And as I was coming out, I started thinking, like, I don't know where I belong anymore in the body. I don't know how to use my gifts. And it's like, you know, at the old church, I was the head usher. I was a part of the youth ministry. Like, I had a place. I don't have a place anymore. And I don't know how to find it. I don't know how to use my gifts. And I just kind of feel like I want to be involved, but I don't know how to become involved anymore. And I was reading Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 4. And it says this. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. And in that moment, the Lord said to me, if you will let Christ's life be revealed in you, I will show you your life. Very powerful. I remember exactly, like, sitting in the bar area, either during a service or during a prayer meeting, and I said, you know, so I was like, okay, I will try to do that. So I kind of did the basic things, right? Like, I told you I was isolating, so I made sure I tried to come to church every Sunday, and I tried to come to Wednesday prayer, and I read my Bible every morning, and I prayed every day, and I kind of did like the basic Christianity things, right? But when I prayed, like, Lord, what do you mean? What do you mean you want your life to be revealed to me? Like, what does that mean? I felt like the Lord said, just try and love people. Just try and be a part of their lives. Don't try and minister to them. Don't try and do it. Just try and be their friend. So, you know, okay, that's what I did. And I want to tell you about how that went with two people. The first is Matt. I really wish I would have had a better memory when it came to meeting people. I don't remember how Matt and I became such good friends, but I remember feeling very awkward in the beginning, like I knew the Lord wanted me to become his friend, but it's just like, you know, he's married and he lives out in Neenah, and I essentially have to invite myself over, like that kind of thing. It was really uncomfortable in the beginning, but the more I saw him, the more I tried to engage what the Lord was doing, the better friends we became, and it just became this wonderful friendship where all of a sudden, you know, I would find myself, we'd be talking, and all of a sudden we'd be talking about scripture because he loves God and I love God, and we had these questions, it would just kind of flow out of me. I'd begin ministering to him out of just my experience and what I knew of the Lord, and it just developed into this very, not just strong friendship, but it was obvious that the Lord was having me disciple him, and it was wonderful. It was great. It was just like, I just felt like I always had the answer for him, and it was amazing, and it all started just because the Lord said, just go and be his friend, and just let it happen. Just let it develop as it will. Don't force anything. Just go and love the guy. And I'm amazed at God sometimes. You know, he just tells you to do this small little thing, and it becomes this great big wonderful thing in your life, and it's been a blessing to be Matt's friend, and he, you know, he helps me a lot of ways. I'll go over to him to his house often, and I'll just start kind of venting about everything that's going on in my life and the body, and it's like essentially he kind of gets the pre-sermon, and he just it's wonderful, and it all started just because this very small thing, just go and be his friend. And another way that happened was this early winter, not this one, I'm sorry, like March, I got a text from, it was either Joey or Craig, saying that a guy named John, who I knew, needed a place to stay, that his, where he was living now would become chaotic and bad, it just wasn't good, and he needed a place to stay. And I'd known John for a couple years ago, about the same time that the Lord told me to start trying to be friends with people. And so when I met him, I was like, I knew immediately the Lord was like, you know, reach out to this guy. So I tried, and I wasn't really good at it then, and also there was a lot of turmoil in his life. So it just didn't work out. He lived in Oshkosh, so a lot of things that didn't work out. So when I got this text, it was like immediately I saw what was going to happen if I said yes. This isn't going to be for a few days. This is him going to be moving in, and I'm going to have to disciple him. And I remember sitting and looking at that text all day because I was in a really bad mood that day. And I waited, and I finally said yes because, you know, you have to obey the Lord, and I knew it's what he wanted. But it's like, you know, I didn't want to do it. I didn't, but I knew that Christ wanted me to, so I did it. And I am blown away by how far John has come along in the last several months. I am blown away. He has put up with me, and he's put up with Douglas, and he's done the things that he needs to do. He's engaged with God. He's struggled through the difficult parts, and you know, we've been there together to build our friendship, to have our conflicts, to make up, to strengthen our love for one another, and to become brothers in Christ. And you know, it's just it's amazing. And what did I do? I said, yeah, you can stay in my room. Whatever. I don't even sleep on my bed. I'm dysfunctional. I've been sleeping on a couch since I was in junior high. I can't stop. I can't sleep on a bed. So it's like, yeah, I mean, I have an extra room. It just makes sense, right? What really am I sacrificing? Except, of course, the personal trouble. And I have many more stories like that. It was just like the Lord kept saying, hey, this guy, why don't you go minister to him? Hey, this person, why don't you become his friend? It always just started out like, just try and become a part of their lives and let what will develop, develop. And then, of course, the other normal things I was saying, like going to church, going to prayer, that kind of stuff. And it was amazing to watch kind of everything develop. And then this summer, someone asked me to describe my ministry. Like, what exactly are you doing? And I said, well, you know, I try and disciple Zeb and John, but that's pretty easy because they live with me. And I know the Lord wants me to. And then I try and disciple Casey, and that's pretty easy because he works with me. And the Lord told me, like all these people, it's like these are people the Lord highlighted. And then there's Matt, of course, you know, he's difficult. He works second shift, so I try and make time every week to go and have like one-on-one time with him. And then there's Ben, and I do the same thing. I try and make time every week to have one-on-one time with him. And as I'm describing to these people what it is the Lord has called me to do, it dawns on me, these are all guys in their early 20s. And it's like, oh. So in the process of following the Lord has developed my ministry. Apparently my ministry is to young men in their 20s. And that is something that I need to begin developing. Like he said, as I let Christ's life be revealed in me, he is showing me my life. And I'm finding my place in the body. And I realize now, can you bring me that water? It's my water. As I'm beginning to realize now, that is my place in the body, that my ministry is to young men. And so I need to start developing that. I need to start paying attention to other young men in the body and trying to kind of become a part of their lives, introduce myself, just try and be their friend and see what will develop. And I don't know, it's weird because it's something I always told the Lord I didn't want to do. I don't like young guys. They're stubborn, and like I was. And I said, Lord, please, just not that. I'll do anything but not that. And here, by just following him, that has become what my ministry is. And I'm grateful for it, and I love it. And I love the people that I, you know, that he's put in my life. But it's like we all kind of struggle with how I was struggling that day sometimes. Like, I don't know where I fit in the body. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. What is my life about? What am I really doing? I mean, maybe I do this at church or I do that, but I just don't feel like that's it. And the starting point is not to kind of, I don't know, figure it out yourself. The starting point is just obey Christ. Just follow him. And it's amazing what he will do after that. And as I was preparing this message, I came across a verse in Ephesians, two verses, Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. And it says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. We need to find our place in the body, because if we don't find where we belong in the body, if we're not properly functioning in that place, then we can't be built up together in love. This last Wednesday, there was a tongue spoken in prayer, and it was really awkward because I felt like I had the interpretation, but I felt like it was just kind of the message. But the Lord really impressed upon me, no, you need to say this, it's very important. So I'm going to say what I felt the interpretation was, but it was really bizarre because it wasn't like I heard the words and then I like understood the words and I knew what it said. It was like almost even before he spoke, I knew everything that he wanted to say, the Lord wanted to say. So this is what it was. Everything in its time, everything in its place. I have, the Lord speaking, I have made a life for you and you're trying to hop around it. You're trying to do the things that you want to do, or you're trying to find your own place, and I have made this life for you, and you need to follow in that. You have ideas of where you're going, but you can't skip it in time. Everything will come in its time. You have to let it develop. You have to live this life that I have given you, because I have given it to you. So often we feel like I did that day a few years ago where I just didn't know my place in the body, and so we just start making stuff up. Like, well, I'll go be a part of this ministry, or I'll go do this thing because they need help. Or even at my old church, I'll be head usher because they need a head usher. I that was not my calling. I didn't belong there. But I was just trying to find my place, and by trying to find my place, I was kind of messing up the body. I mean, if there's a functioning hand and then there's a functioning kidney, and the hand says to the kidney, hey, kidney, I need some more help up here. Come stop being a kidney and come be a hand. And the kidney does that. Now not only does the body not have a functioning kidney, it also has a kidney pretending to be a hand. And I'm telling you, a kidney makes a pretty poor hand. And it's better to have, like, the body kind of dislike, it's better to have, say, one hand and the functioning kidney than one hand and a kidney hand. You know what I mean? And then no kidney. At least let it do its job, because that's what it's good at, and that's where it belongs. And I say all this kind of laughing at myself, because as I'm finding my place in the body, and as I'm doing this, I had a pretty big conflict with Tim Stefani a couple weeks ago. We were sitting in a prayer meeting, And he's describing how he feels like the Lord wants him to go and like pray for a few hours a day. And I got really upset. I am so overwhelmed with all these things that I have to do. And I just feel like, nobody's helping me. It's not true, but that's how I feel like. And it's, so he's talking about going and praying by himself for a few hours every day. And I said to him, look, you want to pray for a few hours a day, but that's fine. Get up a little earlier. But I need help. I need you to come and minister to these people with me because I'm losing my mind. And he got very defensive and rightfully so. And he's like, look, I'm going to do what the Lord tells me to do. And I said, it was really weird for a while. And we kind of calmed down. And the more we talked, the more I realized that that I was wrong, but I just couldn't quite see why I was wrong. And so after it ended, I prayed about it. And the Lord said, when you go to his house this week, ask him to describe what he was trying to tell you, but you snapped at him. Ask him in a nicer way to describe it and get the real answer and not a defensive answer. And so I went to his house a couple days later and I said, Tim, what were you trying to say? Like, can you explain it a little better to me? Because I feel like I'm missing something. And so he just begins to describe how he feels like the Lord wants him to go and pray and be, you know, by himself, to pray for the body, to pray for people, to pray whoever he will, and that, you know, leads to other things and to what he should do. And as he's talking, I realize, my gosh, he's a prayer leader in the same way that Matt is a worship leader. That in the same way that Matt can stand up here and worship, and somehow we all engage in his worship and can worship deeply, Tim can pray and somehow get everyone to kind of come along in prayer and pray deeply with him. And the fruit of his life is evident. You know, he leads Wednesday night prayer well. He had started the Sunday night prayer group that I'm part of. He has this idea that the Lord is telling him that he needs to create prayer pockets. So in the same way that the five of us meet to pray just for the body and whatever would happen, that the Lord wants that for the body. And I realized that, like, when he said that, I was like, yeah, you know, whatever, Tim, I don't know. I realized, my gosh, I'm not encouraging his ministry. This is from the Lord. This is where he belongs, and he needs to start doing this. And the Lord said, and you need to start encouraging him. You need to tell him, get on those prayer pockets. Because if that's his calling and that's his ministry, everyone else is going to kind of be reluctant and like, I don't know. And Tim's got to, that's his ministry. It's his job to take the lead in that and to bring it forward. And so not only do we have to find our own place in the body, we can't start stealing from other places because we're overworked. We've got to let them still do what they do and then also even encourage them to do that. And so I strongly encourage you to pray about being part of that prayer pocket and going and talking to Tim Stefani. They're really important. They're really good. They really bring people together and just, I don't know, it's wonderful, and I believe it's from the Lord, and I trust his calling and his ministry, and I strongly encourage you all to bother him about it. Yeah, Tim. So, and you know, I'm not trying to say that now then that's all we do. Like let's say I think that my calling is to be a preacher. Like, it doesn't mean then that's my only obligation to the body is to come up and preach. Or Tim's a prayer leader, so his only obligation is to lead Wednesday night every now and again and have some prayer things. There are certain things that we're all called to do. We're all called to witness. We're all called to disciple. We can all clean the church. You know, you can say that, well, I don't have the gift of helps, and that's fine. Let someone with the gift of helps organize it and go and clean the church. You know, you can say, I don't have the gift of teaching, so I'm not going to teach Sunday school. Okay, let the teacher develop a curriculum and then go and teach the kids. It's simple. It really is. It's simple and it isn't. And what I mean by simple is that we can all do it. We can all take our part in the body where we belong. But it's oddly difficult. It's like you're always putting to death yourself. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's difficult on a deep level, like in your soul, in your heart, as you begin to minister to people, as you begin to kind of lay yourself out, as you begin to support people where they need to be supported. Well, like I'm saying, like making time to clean the church or to teach the kids, or there's sacrifice involved, there's difficulty, there's turmoil, there's conflict. In the same way that even though I've known Tim for years and we both love each other to death, we had pretty bad conflict that Sunday. And you've got to, as a body, we've got to see it through together. We've got to be together. We've got to love one another enough to work through that and to fill in the gaps where they're needed, but then also know our place. It's really complicated, and I wish I had a better answer for you, practically. But the answer the Lord always gives me is what I told you earlier: let Christ's life be revealed in you, and then everything just kind of falls into place. And all this stuff really matters. It's more important than we realize. It's more important than we might see every day. And the difficulty is very real. As I discussed when I was having that at lunch with Douglas, I was very upset. I was very hurt by a lot of people. And it was just kind of all coming out, kind of like the cumulative effect of everything from the summer and the weeks following. I was really hurt, and it was really difficult. I was struggling to keep along in what the Lord wanted me to do, even though, you know, I felt the love for him and I was continuing. And Douglas said something very interesting. He was good to me, and he was really ministering well to me, even though he was stressed out too. But at the end of the conversation, he said to me, "You know, Gabe, there's a reason we're going to get crowns, and there's a reason we're going to cast them at Jesus' feet." And I remember when he said it was like a, I don't know, when the Lord speaks to you in a very profound way, you know. And even if you're not sure why it matters, you know that it matters. So when he said that to me, it really caught my attention. And that was the genesis of this message, what does that mean? What does that mean we're going to get crowns? And what does that mean we're going to cast them at Jesus' feet? So I started doing a study of where it's found in the Bible. And there's I think, 5 places where it says we'll get crowns in the Bible. And then Revelation 4:10 is where the 24 elders cast him at Jesus' feet. I don't want to get too much into that. I want to describe more of what the Lord showed me about it. And the first is this: the crown does not signify authority. The word in the Greek actually kind of means like a wreath, like an olive leaf wreath, maybe think of, like what you would win competing in the Olympics, like back in ancient Greece, what you might think of. That's exactly what it meant. That's the literal translation of that word. And while it could signify authority, in the context it's used in Scripture, it's a reward. James 1:12 talks about those who persevere will receive, I want to say it's a crown of life or the crown of righteousness. 1 Corinthians 9:24 and 25 talk about running the race well, and if you do and you win the race, that you receive an imperishable crown. And I began to realize that, I don't know, it's a reward. It's not like a reward like, hey, now you're in charge of whatever it is in heaven. It's like here's a nice, beautiful crown, and this is a reward in heaven. And then I came across 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20. And that one I want you to turn to, because this one blew me away. Starting in verse 19. "For who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For you are our glory and joy." These very people that I'm complaining about, that are hurting me, that I'm sacrificing for, that I love, they are my crown. When I get to heaven, they are my reward at the coming of the Lord Jesus. They are going to be my crown. They are, like, I can't say it any better than he said. They are my crown of exaltation, and they are the reward that I'm going to receive. These people that I ministered to out of love, and whether they accepted the ministry or not, they are my reward. And I began to think, my gosh, you know, 2 weeks ago at Bible study, I was talking to Claudia, and she was having a bad week, and so we all prayed for her, and I realized, now Claudia is part of my crown. Because I obeyed the Lord and I prayed for her. Like, I kind of said, just, how are you doing? And it just kind of all came out. And so we prayed for her. And then the next week, she kind of says the same thing to me. And I say, yeah, I'm losing my mind. I'm really, really. And so she prays for me. And then says later, after the Bible study, the Lord placed you on my heart this week. I've been really praying for you. So now I understand why. And I realize, oh, now I'm part of Claudia's crown. Like as we obey Christ and we let him lead us in our lives, and we do these things for him, all of a sudden, like, whether we see the effect or not, we become a part of one another's crowns. And it was just like, I was starting to understand this, I don't know, this great revelation. I was getting really excited, like, This means something, right? This means something. And then I go to Joey's house this Wednesday, and I'm down in the dumps again, and her not knowing anything about my message starts to say, you know, Gabe, years ago, the Lord told me something, and he said, in the same way that I had a wedding day, in the same way that I looked forward to my wedding day for parts of my life, and then there was a literal day where I actually got married, and I said to myself, my gosh, this is happening, this is the day, that there will be a literal day when we stand in front of Jesus, and he hands us our crowns, and our crown will either be kind of like she said earlier, like a little diadem, and it's small because you didn't do much, or it'll be heavy and monstrous because you did so much. And it was just like, yeah, that's going to be my message, Joey. She's like, oh, you're preaching about crowns now? And I was like, no, it was already in there. She's like, oh, it's already in there? And then we come to Wednesday night prayer, and Ashley sings that song we sung about casting our crowns at the feet of Jesus. And Joey sends me a message on Facebook that night, and she says, I wrote it down, it's important. Your work in the Lord means something. He's trying to drill that into your brain. So that brings us to yesterday. I have not been well these last few weeks. I have been in such turmoil in just what I have seen in people close to me and just such turmoil. And I was talking to the Lord yesterday morning, and I said, I'm just so hurt, Lord. And he says, tell me about it. It was really, so I said, Lord, I feel like I just keep offering my heart to these people, and they just keep hurting me, and they just keep stinging me, and I don't know how much longer I can do it, and I love them, and they just keep hurting me, Lord, and And then on top of it, I feel like I'm the whipping boy. Like, I never get anything. My life is just only sacrifice and only pain, and I never get anything. And anytime I allow myself to hope for something, it's like it gets snatched away immediately from me. And none of that is true, the hope part, but it's how I felt. And I just started sobbing, just sobbing. For like 10 minutes. And I said, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I can't keep offering my heart to these people. They just keep hurting me. I can't do it. I have nothing to look forward to. I just can't keep doing this. I'm not able. So, you know, I cried for about 10 or 15 minutes and I mean like just sobbed. I kind of got a grip, and I was trying to get ready because I had a lot of things to do yesterday. And go back in the bathroom for something. And all of a sudden, it was like I was, in my mind's eye, it's like I was standing in front of the Lord. And I was holding this large crown. And I said, look, Lord, you gave me John and Zeb and Matt and Casey and Ben, and I love them. And I poured out everything I had for them, and I withheld nothing, and I sacrificed everything for them. Aren't you proud of me? And he said, I am so proud of you. And I wept so hard for like 30 minutes. I was just praying, dear God, don't let Zeb hear me. I am so proud of you. There can be no greater reward in all of existence. The God of everything, my Father, who rescued me from sin, who turned me into this man able to do this, is proud of me. And so, here I am today, offering my heart again to you, because he is worthy, and I will keep doing it, and I will run the race well, and I will finish well, and my reward is not lost, and my reward is great, but I do not do it for the reward. I do it because I know the mystery of God, and the mystery of God is found in Colossians 1. Verses 26 and 27. That is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that when I get to heaven, and I have my crown, and I say, aren't you proud of me? So excited to show him what I've done. You gave me these things, and I did it all for you. Aren't you proud of me? And he says, I'm so proud of you, and here is your reward. I will look at Jesus, and I will cast my reward at his feet. And I will say, it was because of your son that I did this. Because of how he loved me. Because of how he lived in me. And I gladly give you my reward. Jesus. Let us allow Christ to live in us. Let us allow his life to be revealed in ours. Let us find our place in the body appropriately. And let us continue to offer our hearts to one another and to be hurt and to continue to hold out our hearts. The Lord told me one time, anyone can be hurt, Gabe, but if you want to be Christ to these people, you love them after they hurt you. Let us have that attitude and the revelation of the mystery that Christ lives in us. I don't know how to stop this.
If the elements for the Lord's Supper would be distributed.